Today's daf in the Sechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Aleph. And we've got some slow responders this morning, but we're going to continue with where we were up to yesterday. And yesterday we spoke about this idea of cauterizing the liver before you actually put it into any water. And when you cauterize it, it would mean that any blood that's in it stays in it, and that would mean that it's kosher, because there's no issur of eating meat with its blood. People think you have to take out all the blood before you eat meat, but that's a misunderstanding. You only have to remove the blood from meat if you're going to cook the meat, and that gives an opportunity for the blood to get out into the water, which will then reabsorb it by whatever you're cooking. Once the dam is poresh from the bosa, then it becomes osa. The only problem with liver is that it has such a vast amount of blood in it that if you cook it with anything else, everything is going to become osa, as we said, even if you would actually salt it before. So because of that, they would be michlat, either bechala or utilizing scalding hot water, and they would scald it. So yesterday, Moshe Andel isn't here this morning, but yesterday Moshe Andel was concerned with why is it that that water itself doesn't actually become usser and then re-usser the liver. And that is actually where we're up to today. And this is, we got up to this. It's a mistake. It should not say this sover of papa. It should say sover of papa, kame de rav elamema. So that's where we were up to. And that's about a quarter of the way down. So sover of papa, kame de rav elamema. Rav Papa, when he was told about this idea of cauterizing, so he suggested to Rava that, look, the vinegar itself that you use in order to cauterize would become usser, because it actually came into contact with that first blood that came out, and therefore it itself is usser. But Rava said to him, that doesn't make any sense, because if the vinegar is usser, then the liver should also be usser, because ki hecha de polat hadar bala. The whole point of the cauterization is to end the ongoing plita, which is the exuding of the liver. So then if at that moment, it will also start to reabsorb whatever blood was in that vinegar. And therefore, if the vinegar were prohibited, so too would the liver be prohibited. And therefore, it's clear that the cauterization effect is viewed as taking place immediately, no blood getting indirectly into the vinegar, no significant blood getting into the vinegar, which leaves us with a perfect way to prevent the blood from getting out into the water. Rav Bar Shiva, Ikla Levei Rav Nachman, and Ayitele Kavda Shalika. So Rav Bar Shiva was visiting Rav Nachman, and they brought him some stewed liver, and he refused to eat it. So the waiters came and told Rav Nachman, you know, there's some big shot kid out there who is a Barbe Rav means a kindergarten kid. So he's this kindergarten kid, he's come in here, and he thinks he's more religious than you are, and he refuses to eat. Really, says Rav Nachman, who is it? It's a guy called Rav Bar Shva. Aha, said Rav Nachman, stuff it down his throat. Pin him down to the ground and give him that liver. So, gamu l'shava. He didn't think much of, he didn't even call him by his own name, right? He just calls him by his family name. What, Shava? Stuff it down his throat. So basically, he was very upset because the Mishnah we had before says beferish, that the liver itself, the kaved, is oseret ve'ina ne'eseret. So it can't become oser. So what is he worried about exactly? So he thought that that was a real chutzpah. But the truth is that the Gemara explains that he did have, Rav Bar Shva did have a marker, ketanoi, because the emes is that it's a machlokas. And Rabbi Eliezer omer hakaved oseret ve'ina ne'eseret, like the Mishnah in Trumais, b'pnei shepoletet ve'ina bola'at. Because, as we said, since it's tarut b'plita, it's constantly exuding blood, it's not going to absorb at the same time it's exuding. Rabbi Shmuel, b'no shor b'yochan ben baroka omer, If it's mitubelet, so if let's say it has been softened by putting in different spices and seasoning, so then it actually becomes usser itself. And what's more, if it's shluka, so if it's been boiled for a long time, then it starts absorbing. So if it's stewed, it would also not only be oser at other things, but there after it's already exuded, it reabsorbs. It starts to reabsorb after time. So if you're stewing it a long time, it itself would become usser. And that was what Rav Bar Shuvah was actually being semech on when he was nervous about eating it and refused to eat. But apparently, as the Rishonim point out, if we were supposed to pin him down and shove that liver down his mouth, then apparently that wasn't a very well-supported opinion. Okay, the truth is, the Rambam actually paskens that way, which is very strange because certainly doesn't seem to pashtus that the sugya goes in that direction. But okay, a lot of discussion. Why does the Rambam pasken essentially like Rav Bar Shuvah? Rabba Bar Rav Huna, equal of a Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, and Aitel kamitzlat savitachoy. Rabba Bar Rav Huna was visiting before Shabbos, and he came to visit Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. And they served him, oh my gosh, they served him something that would have attracted even Richie to come on time. And that was three full saw of this delicious bread that had been dipped in all kinds of delicious fatty stuff. It's amazing. So there he was eating all of these dips. And he really couldn't believe that they prepared all of this for him. I can't believe you eat like this all the time. Did somebody tell you I was coming to visit? So they said to him, what, you think you're more important than Shabbos? Mi adif alam. We start preparing for Shabbos in the middle of the week, you know? Dechtivi karata le-Shabbat oneg, and this is part of our oneg Shabbos, which we're sharing with you in advance. Anyway, meanwhile, while all this is going on, Ashkechahu kav da davi be-sampuna devli adama. So he finds with his all the stuff that they put out there, he sees that there's a liver that had been roasted, but one of the arteries of the liver was still filled with blood. And he said to them, hey, wait a minute over here. You're not allowed to make liver in this way. You have to make sure that actual collected blood that you find in any of the arteries of the liver, of course, you have to cut it open. As we said before, you have to cut it, just in the erev, and you make sure that all of it goes out. So they said to him, so how else are we supposed to do it? We thought that if you are tzoleh, you're roasting a liver. So we were taught that all the blood comes out and that would be fine. He said to them, but before you roast it, you have to tear it. Kir'u she'siv ve'erev, and you keep the area that was cut. You have to keep it facing down so that it drips off and all of the blood will go out. Now, this is true only of the covet. And remember, we've been discussing various organs that require special treatment. So we spoke about the heart, and we spoke about the udder, and we spoke about the stomach of a nursing, a younger animal that had actual milk in it, and what you would have to do in order to avoid basar b'challah. And there was also now the liver that we've been talking about in terms of dam, and you might have thought that that would be true also of the spleen, because there's a lot of blood in the spleen, and it looks very liverish, and you might think that you have to do exactly the same thing before you're able to eat spleen, that you would need to cut it, shesiva erev, and you would need to roast it specifically, and so on. However, we now want to make sure you don't make that mistake, because tatachla is different. The truth is, it looks the same, but it is shumna ba'almahu. It is not considered to be dam, the way the actual dam of the liver is, even though it looks that way. The truth is, it's a type of more fatty material than bloody material. And like Shmuel said, avdei, it was when Shmuel, when he would have a bloodletting, and remember, Shmuel was a doctor, so he said that making me a dish of tchol that is boiled, tafshile de tchol, when I do a bloodletting, that is an easy way to recover. Itma. Now the question is, if you're going to be broiling meat and liver, what happens then? Because then they remember, what about meat on meat, actually? You're broiling a piece of meat, and remember that in those days, the spit upon which you broiled was vertical, because how were the ovens made? They were made facing downwards with the hole on top, and then you would put it everything on the top. If it was baking, then you would stick it to the side. But if it was actual cooking, so then you would leave it at the bottom. And if it was broiling, you would take a spit, fill the pieces on the spit, put the spit in vertically, and close the top, or not close the top, depending on what it is. But anyway, the question is, if the kaved was on top of the meat, then that would mean that all of the blood that was dropping off of the kaved would fall onto the meat. Now, the truth is the same thing is true of even one piece of meat on another piece of meat. Whatever is going to be dripping off of the top is going to be falling over the piece on the bottom. And then you would think, well, if that's the case, then you're going to have this hot meat on the bottom that's being bathed in blood that had come out of the piece above. And because of that, it would be a classic absorption of Isser, because it's absorbing that dung. And in fact, why not? Well, it turns out that there's a unique quality of dung. And that is, which I'm sure you've noticed, it's very slippery. And that's called mishrak, mishrak shorik, blood. That's another term for gavi. It's dam is mishrak shorik. It is slippery. Because of that, it does not stick to surfaces that it's falling over if there's a gravitational pull taking it down. So because of that, if it's a vertical spit, actually, there's less of a problem, because even though the blood will be bathing the piece underneath, it falls right off of it and doesn't stick. And therefore, it's not a problem, as we'll see. But actually, if you make a barbecue in which the spit is horizontal, there you could have a problem, because a horizontal spit, first of all, is not perfectly horizontal. And even if it is, you move it around when you're busy with the barbecue. And therefore, there you could actually get a situation where something is sitting in the blood from the piece above, and either piece could be above. So, itma, kavka, iloi bisrat shari. If you have a piece of liver that is on top of a spit and is dripping down above that piece of meat, is not a problem. And the Pasha says it means it's not a problem, even the Chatchila. Today, Moshe Andel coming late was a bad idea, because we discussed your point of yesterday, which was why the agent that's used for cauterizing isn't usher. But you'll have to go back and review. Masha'en came. Why is that? Because Doma Mishrak Sharik, blood is slippery. But if you would actually broil an udder, kachla ilui bisra, that would be usur, because whatever milk, albeit the milk is really cholav shchuta and it's only usur min rabbanan, but whatever milk is coming out is sticky, and that cholav is saruchi misrach, it tends to stick to the meat that's underneath it, and therefore it has time to become absorbed by the meat. Rav Dimi min Hardaa said, I think the din should be just the opposite. If you broil kachra iloi bisra, it should be mut. Why? Because, look, it isn't really usr, the cholav of a shchuta, remember. Cholav of a shchuta is an isr d'rabbanan, and that should not be such a problem, because we shouldn't be machmer on that, which doesn't really make much sense, says the Rashba. What do you mean you're not machmer on it because it's a Rabbanan? Whoever heard of such a thing? I mean, we're not talking about a chumrah, but Alma, we're talking about a regular question about whether something is going to be absorbed. What kind of answer is that? So the Rashba of Taina is that the reason that he's saying this is not because stam it's an iser d'Rabbanan, that basically what it's talking about is the reason, because most of the milk, lamaisa, that was coming out of the udder is going to just fall off into the heat, into the fire that's on the bottom. And it's only such a small amount that would actually get stuck on another piece of meat. I mean, it's like a miyachib a miyach, and because of that, they weren't machmiran. However, others learn, including Tosfos, that the case over here is talking about a cow that was already processed by our standard cow process, and that was shesiva erev, tearing it open, and tocho bakoto. You pressed it up against the wall, and because of that, even though it's also lechatchila, because of this problem of dripping milk, but there's almost nothing left in it. So because of that, he's combining it with the fact that this whole thing is a chumrah because of an issur d'rabbanan, and that we're not going to asur it b'diavad. That's what he meant. But if you put a liver on top of basar, that's an issur d'oraita. So over there, we should be more makbin, and it's kumolei dam. And because of that, kavli ilui bisur should be asur, because dam is the d'oraita. And halakha l'maisa, dorash marimar, hilchata, bein kavda, bein kachla, whether we're talking about livers or whether we're talking about kechal, tuti bisra shori, ilui bisra bidi avad, it's kosher, lechatchila. So lechatchila, what you're supposed to do is put these things underneath the dam, because the dam that would be coming out, remember, is mishrak sharik, and is going to be burned up by whatever heats at the bottom of the oven. And therefore, it's even more to lechatchila if it's on top of the basar. So as we said, you're not supposed to do that lechatchila, but b'diavad, either of them are kosher. One, because of the svara that actually Rav Dimi tied in, that there's very little milk there, and whatever is there is chalav shchut, it's on the asur d'rabbanan. And the other one, because the dam is mishrak sharik. Now, Rav Ashi came to Rami Bar Abba's home. Rami Bar Abba was his father-in-law, and he sees his brother-in-law, Lebrei de Rami Bar Abba. He sees Rami Bar Abba's son, who of course is his brother-in-law, Rav Ashi's brother-in-law, that he is putting together a barbecue, and he's got a liver on top of the meat as he's about to put it in to the oven, and he's outraged. Rav Ashi says, what a chutzpah yak. Kama yayir haimi rabbanan. This guy is so stuck up that he just makes his own piskei halachas and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Ema di yomer rabbanan di avat b'chatchilo miyomer. We just had a psak from Marima. But he said to Farish when he gave that psak Marima that it's clearly only a b'diavat. You can't do this b'chatchilo. Now, nogeya, that psak of Marima, which is that you're allowed to put the liver underneath the meat, even lechatchil. Very often, people have a beidugi, and a beidugi is going to create problems. So what is a beidugi? A beidugi is that little container, like they in the you have this in the shawarma places, where the drippings are collected in a container on the bottom, and that's called a beidugi. And there, if there's a beidugi there, so then that would be a problem, because then even if you put the basar on top, whatever's in the beidugi is going to be usher, because you're getting all of that blood, which we said before is going to be falling down, mishrak sharik, and it's going to be burnt up by the fire, the heat at the bottom of the oven. But here there's beidugi. So it is going to contaminate all of the delicious fat drippings that are going to be filled with blood from the kaveh. So then the liver is actually going to asur it because it's going to get mixed up with the other. I don't understand. Why is that true? Maishnami dama de bisra. I mean, whenever you put a beidugi there, blood is dripping out of the meat and it's mixing with the fats. What's the difference if it's blood of liver or if it's blood of meat? I'm confused. I mean, a beidugi should always be asur for saying that. So maishnami dama de bisra. Why isn't that also usher? Because doma de bisra shachar, the blood that comes out of regular meat, it actually sinks to the bottom. And Rasha Inkain, blood that comes out of the liver, doma de kavda, is coughing. It actually floats up to the top. Why we can use the beidugi and it doesn't absorb that, we're going to discuss later on. But lamaisa, the difference, physical difference, is that you can, you're able to skim the fat off of the bedugi if you're using just regular meat. But if you put a piece of liver there on the spit, then the dam of the liver is going to float and mix with the fat. And therefore, you can't use a bedugi wherever you put the liver on the spit. Omer Reb Nachman Omer Shmuel, sakin sheshachatpa asur lachtoch bal roteach. You're not allowed to use your shechita knife for cutting hot food, because the knife, when it actually goes through the Beis HaShechita, is going to absorb, because of the heat of the shechita itself, of the living animal. You've got to get rid of that dam. And even if you wash it off, there's still going to be some bli'ah of that dam. And because of that, you can't use hot food, can't cut with it, because whatever bit of dam got absorbed by the sacking will come out. But you can use it on cold food. And now the question is, do you have to first rinse it off, or can you do even without hadocha? Hadocha is just called plain rinsing. So nein is a machloket. Amri laboy hadacha, va'amri laboy hadacha. There's some hold that there's no problem at all, because since over here it's tzonein, so that would mean that nothing is going to be absorbed, because by definition, tzonein does not absorb. And if that's the case, we don't have that problem. And we do only have the problem of when you're pressing the knife against the food, so maybe some of the dam that was in the knife, the residue of the dam, the pressure causes the residue to come on the surface of the food, and therefore you need hadacha, but there's certainly not going to be a problem of belia. Masha'in kein, if you hold that something which is tzonein, pressure itself is not sufficient to actually cause any kind of residue to come to the surface of the metal, so then there's no problem even of hadacha, because there is no dam whatsoever. So the food is not going to need to be rinsed, as long as there's no blood on the knife itself. But the food is even mutter without hadach, if you hold that the duchka de sakina means the pressure of the knife. And we're going to be learning a lot about when it is that sometimes duchka de sakina can aser things that would normally be okay. I'm sure as you're familiar with in the Davar Charif, it happens at home. When you're cutting something that's sharp, there's a special issur of duchka de sakina. So here, the shita that holds, you don't even need to wash it off, holds that there's no exuding at all, even from a knife that had in it dam. If it's used cold, it does not leave anything on what you cut. Another problem. If you have a container, so you've got this plate, and you use it to do melicha, so then all the blood drips into that plate, and it's blood which is mixed with a lot of salt. Well, you can never use that plate for hot food, because since Shmuel is Lataime, remember we had Shmuel Shita before, that Shmuel said anything that is salted, salted to the, not that it has a little bit of salt, but it's salted to the point of actually either trying to preserve it or taking out the dam, that is considered to be the equivalent of being hot. Meliach hareyu kiroteach. That was Shmuel Shita before. And Shmuel also said that if you pickle something or you let it sit in it, we'll see what that shear is later, but any kavush is the equivalent of mevushal in mayim. So since over here, according to Shmuel, it's as if you actually had roasted it in that pot, how can you use that pot or that plate? How could you use it to put something hot into? Also lechol boroteach, because then it will absorb the same way as if it's a treifa pot or a treifa plate. And if you put something hot into a treifa plate, it's going to absorb that tam and become aser. Kiyata Ravin, but when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold like that at all. Rabbi Yochanan held that Maliach eino kiroteach, and Kavush eino kimevushal. So we have a Moshe Reuven who seems to be quite insistent on having an issue. Now, this is not the type of issue that is duchka de sakina, it's not issuing from heat. It's not issuing from pressure, it's issuing from questions. What's
When we're
the
talking this blood in the knife, are we talking about the Tom of Dom and the knife? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, we always talk about that. It's always Tom, which then, if it exudes, is considered to be a shamnunit of Tom. Because as long as there was some shamnunit in a piece of meat or in an act of shvita, so then the shamnunit makes things very complicated because shamnunit is actually absorbed and it actually comes out. So it's not just time.
It's not just Tom.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of
Not as if
questions, but I'm gonna.
you put the knife into a pot of boiling blood, but you actually have the shamnunis, which is affected by Duchah de Sakina. Okay, but we'll see more of these halachas later. This is like just the opening salvo, really. Patience, patience. So anyway, Abaya said, "Don't believe what Ravin said that Rabbi Yochanan holds the opposite of Shmuel, and that Moliach is not Kerubtiach." And that Kovash is not Kimavushal. That's simply not true. I know it's not true because we had a situation in a pinka that was in Rav Ami's house that had been used for Malicha. And Rav Ami was like a star Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, and he broke that. A pinka is made out of cheres. And he broke it because there would be no way to fix a kli cheres that was not kosher. And he was obviously afraid that people would end up using it, and then it would have the tam of the dam. But if Rabbani is a star Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, why would he have broken the plate if Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree that salting is the equivalent of heat, which is Shmuel's din? I mean, if you just salted something, you just wash it off. And if you wash it off, it should be kosher. Why would he have to break his pretty plate? So, Michti, Rabami Talmid, Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Tavri, why break it instead of washing it? Lav Mishum, the Shmuel Eminei, Rabbi Yochanan. He must have heard directly from Rabbi Yochanan, like Shmuel, that actually Moliach is Kiroteach. And that's why you should not trust Reuven on this. Yosef Rav Kahana, Achud Rabbi Yehuda, Kameder Avuna. Then we have another very important question, which is going to now become extremely nogea as the Gemara develops, as you'll see, extremely nogea day-to-day kashrut. So Rav Kahana, who was Rav Yehuda's brother, he was sitting there in front of Rav Huna, and Rav Kahana was saying that Ka'ara Shemalach Babasar, Asur Lachobo Roteach. Okay, we finish with that shita. You're not allowed to eat any kind of hot food if it had been used for melicha. That was based on Shmuel's Maimer. Now, how about a radish? A radish that was cut with a knife, a fleshika knife, a meat knife, mutar le'echlo bekutach. You would be allowed to eat that radish together with kutach. Now, kutach, of course, was made out of milk and whey. And it was extremely milchiki. And that normally we believe that when you cut something with duchah de sakina, that it deposits actual shamnunis because of the pressure and the shamnunis, and therefore the taste going into this tzinon, into the radish. And nonetheless, somehow or other, Rav Kahana is being matir, eating it with a milk dip. So that's pretty striking. Why would that be true? Isn't it basically the same halacha? You said two things, and they seem to be the opposite. You said that in the ka'ara, it absorbed the taste of the meat, and now if you have any kind of hot food, you can't put it in that plate. But if you cut something with a meat knife that deposited shamnunis, then you are allowed to eat it with a milchiki dip? I don't understand. If you hold that the taste of the dam or the taste of the basar is a problem, what's the difference between the two cases? My taima. If the plate that you did the melicha in has a tam of dam, well, the tznon has a tam of basar, and therefore it should be usher to eat basar with kutach. Hamrabayim, well, isn't it obvious what the difference is? I mean, look, meat is not usser, blood is usser. So essentially, the tsunon, it's true, it did absorb a taste of meat, but meat is not isser, meat is heter. And this other case, it absorbed dam, and dam is usser. So how is it the same? Amar Rava, I don't understand why you think that makes a difference. Kibbalah hetera, my hobby. Who cares? In the end, what you're saying is that you're going to be mixing it together with kutach, right? So sof sof, I hetera da atili de isuruhu. So in the end, I mean, don't we have to look at what the person is eating? The person is going to be eating basar that was deposited by the shamnunis of the sakin on the tznon, and he's going to be eating it together with kutach. So isn't it usser to do that? If you know that it's going to end up becoming mixed with the chalav, what do you care about whether right now it's heter or not? I would say there's a very simple reason for the difference. It's just a logistical difference. The case of the tznon, well, taste it. You can simply taste the tznon and see if it has a meaty taste to it. That's all. So it's possible that you could eat it with kutach, but it means, of course, that you first tasted it to see whether it tastes like basar. But if you're talking about the case in which it absorbed dam, how are you going to taste it? The dam is usur for you to attempt to taste, and therefore you can't use it. What do you mean you can't use it? Said Rav Papa to Rava, why can't you use it? I thought, didn't we say before that you can have a non-Jewish chef, or according to Rashi, even a non-Jewish anybody, a non-Jewish cook, that would be in a position which would be Mesiach Lefitumo. You remember that machlokas, whether it requires Mesiach Lefitumo, according to Rashi, or whether it requires a professional reputation that the person is trying to protect, according to Tosfos. And we paskin both of them. But in any event, couldn't you have a kapila arma taste it? Milo Tanya, you yourself, sir, Rava himself was the one who said that. Kidera shebishel ba'basar lo yevashel ba'chalav ve'im bishel benotein tam. Remember, we had that. That was like the beginning of the sugya. So if you cooked meat in something, you can't cook milk in it. And if you did, then it depends on whether it has any taste of milk in the meat. Bishel ba'truma, and you cook truma in something, you can't use chulin if you're not a kohen. Lo yavasha ba'chulun, and if you did mix chulin with it and you cook a chulin dish in it, so then it's also going to be usur benotein tam to a zar. And we asked you, we said, Bishlama truma, I understand what it means when it says benotein tam, because you can always ask Barnea to taste it. And he's allowed to eat the truma, and because of that, he can tell you whether he tastes the taste of truma. For some reason, every time Barnea was asked to do that, he always tasted the taste of truma and ended up being the recipient of that chulin. But nobody, for some reason, found out that to be a problem until Congress invited him together with Dr. Fauci, and then it was a problem. But anyway, meanwhile, it's easy to detect the taste of truma, but who would detect the taste of basar v'chalav? Basar v'chalav man ta'imla. Everybody is usher to taste it. And you said, get a goy and have a kapila arma taste it. So I don't understand why you're saying over here, well, there's no way for you to use it because there's no way to taste it. I mean, why can't you use the kapila arma? Said Rava, I'm very happy that you remember my Piskei Halachas. Of course you can do that. Ochinami, I'm saying that if you're talking about in your home, well, don't try this at home because there is no kapila arma at home. And I was just saying that generally speaking, you're going to have a problem. And I wasn't saying it's a fundamental halacha. So ki kamina deleka kapila. I'm saying in a normal case, if you've got this bloody plate, so what are you going to do? You're going to go around and bring it to a goyish restaurant. So I said there's nothing to do about that. I felt it was just a logistic issue. Now we get to the main issue, which comes up all the time. And this is the question of our famous idea, which is going to be written down by our very own Gavi, not bar not. And not bar not's one of the One of the favorite issues in the dinim of the kashrus of Basar B'Cholov, and not bar not, doesn't mean the kind of people you meet on the street. It refers to notein tam bar notein tam. So when you get a secondary taste in which something was cooked in a plate, now in a pot, and that pot is now clean. Now you cook something else in that pot. So let's say you originally cooked something fleshig in that pot, and then you now cooked some fish in that pot. Does the fish actually become meaty? Is there the taste of the meat that went into the pot, and now when you cook the fish in it, it comes out of the pot and goes onto the fish, and now you would not be able to eat that fish with any kind of milk. Is that true? So that is the case that we begin talking about over here, because what happens there is that we have a double weakening of the taste. That's the way most Rishonim learn. The taste of the original meat, when it went into the pot, is attenuated. It's obviously not rich meat taste. It has a meaty overtone. Now, when it comes out of the pot and goes back into the fish, it's even attenuated doubly. And the sense of the meat taste that's in the fish is not a real tam, if you hold it not bar not, is not considered to be a tam. And therefore, that fish would still remain parv. So there's a number of different issues over here, first of all, because what we're talking about, hot fish that's put into a meat pot. We need to determine first one issue, which we're not dealing with here. We had this sugya when it came to chametz and so on. And that is the question of one thing is hot and one thing is cold. So we have the question of tata gavar or ila gavar. So we paskind, and this was another Gavi idea, that the din is whatever one is on the bottom. If the hot one is on the bottom, that is the one that is considered to be koveya the halacha. So he puts up the cold on something hot, so then the food that's on top is going to absorb. But where you put the hot on top of the cold, so then there's not going to be any kind of absorption. However, that was only binogea, the absorption of kidei klipa. And what we're talking about over here, absorption, there we're talking about just a kidei klipa. A kidei klipa is always going to have an effect because it takes time for things to cool off, even if you say that the one on the bottom is going to cool off the one on the top. So basically, here we don't have to start talking about the issue of what happened. You took hot fish, you put it even on a fleshika plate, even if it was cold, it's still going to require kidei klipa, and therefore it should be usher to eat with kutach. In fact, it's a machlokas. Rav amar asur la'achlo b'kutach, and Shmuel says it's mutter la'achlo b'kutach. Why is that? Rav holds it's usher because he says, look, it gets the taste of the meat that was in the fleshika plate. Whereas Shmuel says it's mutter because it's only a notein tam bar notein tam. So it's only a highly attenuated taste because it was attenuated first as a tam bialma when it was absorbed into the plate. And now when you put the hot fish on it, it's also only going to give out a notein tam that is even less than that original notein tam. And the notein tam bar notein tam is not considered to be usur. Now, the truth is, Rav never said beferish that not bar not is usur. We figured out that that must be what he holds. And where is that? Hada Rav lav beferush itmar, ela michlala itmar. Because once Rav was visiting his grandson's house, and that was Reb Shimi bar Chiya. Reb Shimi bar Chiya was Rav's barbarate. And Rav got an eye infection there, and they made a special ointment for his eye infection, to chashbeina, and avdolo shiyafa bitza'a. So they took a plate, one of the regular dinner plates, and they made that ointment for him. And they then used the plate afterwards, after they cleaned it, obviously, and went to the dishwasher and whatever. And they used whatever they were serving, they had put into that same plate. And Rav was able to still taste the taste of the medicine that they had prepared. And he said, "Whoa, yoif taima kule hai. Amazing. It's such a strong taste that even after all of the, well, think of all the attenuation. It went first into the plate. Anyway, the plate was washed. Then it comes out of the plate and goes into whatever they put on the plate. Maybe they put a steak on the plate. And now I can't believe it, but I'm still tasting that medicine." So why did he make that comment? The Pashtus, he was coming to say, you see from here that Nat Bar Nat is still definitely tasteable, and it's an irritating taste. And that's why he made that point. You can still taste it. And he was telling people, Nat Bar Nat, therefore, would be usser. But that's not true. He was just basically making a comment. And it's not a comment that is relevant to the normal halacha, because over a year, Velohi, Shiny Hatam, the case over there was a medication, could be extremely powerful. And therefore, Nafish Marara Tvei, it left an awful taste, which, as you know, can easily happen. And therefore, it doesn't reflect on the normal din of Nat Bar Nat of things that are given there by Achila. Now, Rebbe Eliezer was Koyim Kameda Mar Shmuel. So he was standing there watching what was going on. And they bring Shmuel Dagim Sha'alu Bekara. They brought him some fish. That fish had been cooked, I mean, it had been put down while it's hot on a plate that was a Feshika plate. And he ate that fish with kutach. And he gave some to Rebbe Elazar. And Rebbe Elazar refused to eat it, because Rebbe Elazar was a Talmud of Rav. And Shmuel was going according to his shita that Nat Bar Nat was mutter. And we had been saying that Rav holds Nat Bar Nat is actually usser. Now, even though we were docha the raya from the story of the medication, we're going to see later on that it's pretty clear that Nat Bar Nat is usser. So if he gave it to Rebbe Elazar obviously followed the psak of his Rebbe. And Shmuel said to him, "Omarle, l'rabcha yoiv levi ochal. I gave some of this to your Rebbe and he ate it. And it's not good enough for you? Va'at lo achalt?" So Rebbe Elazar was shocked, because as far as he knew, Rav actually held that Nat Bar Nat was usser. And here Shmuel is saying that he gave Rav Nat Bar Nat and then Rav ate it. So Otel Kami to Rav. So he went back to Rav and he asked him, "Oder be'mar mishmaite? Did Rebbe change his mind about Nat Bar Nat?" So obviously you see here that we're taking for granted that Rav really held Nat Bar Nat was usser. "Did you change your mind?" And so he said, "No, I didn't change my mind." And he told him over the whole story that he was just over at Shmuel's. And Shmuel said that he had given it to Rav. And Rav said, "I absolutely refuse to believe it. Chasrei lazari da Abba bar Abba. Are you kidding? Shmuel, whose father was Abba and whose grandfather was Abba. So there was Abba bar Abba," which we know from the story in Brochus. Remember when Shmuel went to the cemetery to try to figure out what happened to the money that had been left over with his father. So anyway, so I don't believe that a son of Abba bar Abba would give me something to eat that I don't hold is mutter to eat, the lowest sphere. It's outrageous, impossible." So exactly what did happen is not clear. Did Shmuel think that Rav knew that it was Nat Bar Nat and he ate it, and Shmuel wanted to see whether he was still held that Nat Bar Nat was us, or maybe it was mutter? Whatever happened is not very clear. There's a lot of discussion among the Achronim about, so will the real Nat Bar Nat stand up? And it's not actually clear what happened. But what is interesting, that some ask, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed Rav to eat something that he held was usser? Didn't we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala for on tzaddikim. And we said beferish that that's been ogea dinim of achila, that they wouldn't, it wouldn't happen that they would eat something that was usser. So basically, you see from here that it must be that it was not usser at all, and that he made a mistake. If he held that not manat was usser, I don't need to protect him from his own mistake, because the halacha is that not barnat is mutter, and that's exactly why this happened, that he should learn that it wasn't true the halacha. Okay, it could very well be that Rav was not really paying attention to what had happened. He didn't realize that it was not barnat, and Shmuel had offered it to him because he wanted to see whether Rav indeed held that not barnat was also not clear. Anyway, Ravuna and Rabchiya bar Ashi, they were, one was sitting on one side of the Sura River, Bahai Gisa de Mabra de Sura, and one was sitting on the other side of the Mabra de Sura. If one of them, and they could see each other very clearly, one of them, the butler brings in dugim that had been put on this Feushika pot, and he ate it together with Kutach. And the other one, he was in the middle of eating. And they brought him to Einim V'Anovim in the middle of the Suda. Now, we don't know whether it was Ravuna that had the Einim V'Anovim or Rizkiya bar Ashi, but we do know the story was that each of them was presented with a halachic challenge. And the one that was given the Einim V'Anovim, he ate them in the middle of the Suda, and he did not say a bracha. And each one held that the other one was doing the wrong thing. So one screams to the other, "You yasma, you orphan." Now Rashi says, well, what's the pshat of yasma? A yasma means somebody who has no das. Why is a yasma someone who has no das? Because remember, Kabbalistically, das is that which comes from Chochmah and Bina. Chochmah and Bina is called Abba ve'Ima. So if you have no Abba ve'Ima, you have no das. Beautiful. All right. So each one of them called the other one a yasma, plidas. So he said to him, "What kind of behavior is that? Avad rabcha hachi? Would your Rebbe have done that?" And the other one says, "Yasma, avad rabcha hachi." So each one had to explain to the other one what was the marker of what he was doing. So the one who had eaten the dugim in the kutach, he said, "Mar amar leilech avriyanek Shmuel. What's the problem? I was samech on Shmuel, who said beferish that not barnat, which is, remember, it's not barnat, and this is important to remember, Mr. Gavi, that this is not barnat to hetera. Remember, he's not saying that it, if you had the taste of chazer that had gone into a plate, that then he would have eaten the fish that had the taste of chazer. He's saying that since what went into the plate was perfectly kosher meat, and now you want to use a weak taste to create an iser of basar v'chalav on something that was always mutter. There's no iser here. You don't have enough taima to be able to create the iser of basar v'chalav. And therefore, this not banat, the tera, is not a problem. And because of that, I ate it together with kutach. Whereas mar amar le'lachavre, Anak Rabbi Chiya, really. The one who ate the fruit in the middle of the Seudah and he didn't make a bracha, he says, I paskin like Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya's shita is that pat poteret kol minei ma'achal. Now, this is a completely different halacha than the dinim of achila b'tocha Seudah. That's the truth. Because what Rabbi Chiya is saying is that if you make a bracha on bread, so then that bread is incorporates the achila of hamotzi lechem min haaretz, incorporates all types of other foods, and therefore it's not a function of the seuda per se. It's a function of the bracha, in the same way that yayin is poter kol minei mashkin. If you drink a revius of wine, and then they bring apple juice, you don't make a bracha on the apple juice, because the bracha on the wine paters all types of mashkin, which are held to be secondary to the wine. Now, that's not because it's the type of seuda of yayin that paters. It's the nature of the bracha that paters. And therefore, the hamotzi that I said paters even fruit. And I don't make a separate bracha, not a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona, on anything else, because it's the most choshev bracha. And the truth is, we paskin like that, at least the part about the wine. We don't paskin like Rabbi Chiya in terms of the din of eating anything that is not secondary to the pot. So in the end, the halacha of pot is defined by what is normally malafet et ha-pot in the seuda. And if this is not something that's usually eaten as part of the bread with the seuda, then you would have to make a bracha on it. And when we say together with the bread, it doesn't mean literally you're eating it with the bread, and that's the only time that it's potter. It's the type of things that are eaten supported by bread, that those things, even if they're eaten without the bread, are bottled to the overall bracha of the bread in the seuda specifically. Whereas Reb Chiya held, it's not a din in the seuda, it's a din in the bracha. Omar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye. The halacha is that not barnat de'atera, dogim she'olu bekara, mutar la'ochlan bekutach. You are allowed to eat it, like Shmuel. And as far as that story about cutting a radish, the tznon shechatacho besakin, where the sakin had been used to cut through basar, it's osur la'echlo bekutach. We don't paskin like the other thing that he meant, because over here we have a different problem. The different problem is the fact that it is a radish. And the fact that it's a radish means that there's a new halacha. And that's why we specified the radish. And that is, a radish is considered to be sharp. So it's charif. And because of that, the sharpness itself creates a deeper penetration. And we're going to see later on that there's another issue that the sharpness is going to be relevant, which we have pushed aside and we haven't discussed, and which is a big machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, as we'll talk about when we get closer to the halacha of this issue. And that is, we didn't talk about whether this food is a ben yomo or it's not a ben yomo. Because remember, we learned out from the whole sugya of the Milchemes Midyan. So we said over there, the clay Midyan, so it said that you need to make it kosher first. And the Gemara went through the whole sugya as to whether that is because it had been used on that day, and therefore only things that were b'nei yomo were considered to be osur. And here we didn't even deal with that issue, because it turns out that something which is charif not only increases the penetration level of duch kedesakina, but something which is charif actually prevents the deterioration of the food, which is normally deteriorated because it's eino ben yomo. So anything that is mixed with something sharp, the taste no longer you can detect any kind of deterioration in the taste because of the fact that you have this sharp stuff with it. And it's dafka that's known, hanimili known. The whole point over here is because since the radish is charif, so agav churfe, because of that charifus, it is bolea, even the very invisible and thin layer of whatever fatty residue is on the knife. And because of that, it's going to aser. Masha Inkin, when we're talking about food, food that goes through the dishwasher, people generally will clean off well. Knives are not all that easy to clean off well. And unless you used, as we're going to see, a belita de gmichpa, a very heavy type of rough cloth to rub it off, or you actually sharpen the knife, you're going to always leave an invisible layer of fat that's on top of the knife. And that is going to end up actually being, instead of a not bar not, is it going to be a be'en? So where we were talking about not bar not, yes, there we paskened l'kula. Masha'enkin over here, the din is that there's two issues here. First of all, there's duchka de sakina. And secondly, even if you had wiped off the knife properly, duchka de sakina, together with churpe of the tznon, is a terrible combination, so that if you have pressure and sharpness, then you're going to end up getting a real tam, which is more of a tama than the tama of not bar not. And it's considered to be the equivalent of a be'en, and when it gets out afterwards, it wasn't not barnat. It might have been no seitan, but the teduch, the sakina, is not a no seitan, bar no seitan, because the sharpness makes it an actual taste. So, wow, these are extremely important halachas, and agav churpe bola. We'll see what happens when we move on, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, to this lahalacha and how it becomes an issue between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, and what type of things would be able to clean off a knife if you've got other things in between. All of these are very nogea halacha stories to be continued, Bezrat Hashem. Now we have a question from Sir Moshe Reuven Handel.
This thing over here of not barnad and ducha de sakina and davar charif seems to be like a world in of itself. And earlier when we had Hanan and Efrat Sochto, that was the world to itself. And do they talk to each other? They seem to be different considerations.
I don't know where would they talk to each other?
Well, do we
You're
consider
asking
the
me.
amount of time over here when we talk about the ducha de sakina?
Well, they could if you hold that there's an issue of Chatichon Aseis
Oh.
Nevela on other inyanim, but as we already spoke about there, the din of Chatichon Aseis Nevela is always only on a primary tam. You don't create a nevela with a secondary tam. We had that case before. If you recall, when we first started talking about Chatichon Aseis Nevela, because otherwise we ended up with a steira in the whole sugya. But
Know,
we'll
the
be
knife
careful.
becomes Hanan and a plate becomes Hanan.
It needs to be the primary time. No, you don't. Knife
Gotcha.
can't be Chanan. Only food can be Chanan. Right.
Okay.
Okay, but it would be nogea. Would you have to worry about the entire volume of the knife in terms of, that is nogea. Do we consider the entire knife to be actually a tam of iser? So let's say in cases where we nogea shishim, it would be shishim keneged the sakin, or do we just take a look at the piece that was cut by the knife? Fine, those are sugyas that we'll get to, Bezrat Hashem. All right, so we've got, a brand new world has opened up in front of us today. Gavi is already starting to run out a little bit of magic juice. I think a visit to Mrs. Pomfrey later on will probably help your magic pen. But anyway, so today we've talked about, as Moshe Reuven points out, we've talked about Druche de Sakina, and we've talked about Nat Bar Nat, and we've talked about Agav Churpe, all of these being brand new issues. We've talked about Dam Mishrak Shorik. We've talked about Cholav Mishrak Seruche, all important issues, again, in the Gavi repertoire over here, which is soon going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, I'm told. And this is while the book industry still survives, because otherwise they're going to claim it wasn't Gavi at all, it was Gavi AI. And then it loses for some reason all of its value. I don't know why. That pen always used to write on its own anyway. But okay. All right. So these are a bunch of new wonderful issues. Look how Richie is happy today. I mean, he's just absolutely smiling from ear to ear. And that's actually the only way to get Richie up and going. You've got to supply him with three or four new ideas every morning, or he's just so active and mentally so alert that he simply just falls asleep if he isn't given anything fresh and exciting to think about. So, Richie, we're glad to see that smile on your face this morning. And just go back into that kitchen and start experimenting with some duche de sakina, and check out the nat bar nat and the fish. And if you can get any kutach at your neighborhood store, now is the time.
Just
Get a parv knife, Richie. Get
pass
a
me a
parv knife.
radish. I don't know why they're not talking about onions. Shouldn't we be talking about onions
We're
too?
going to talk about onions too. There's
Let's talk about onions. I
a
like
lot of
onions.
discussion about onions. Yes, we'll get to it. Okay, gentlemen, another wonderfully exciting day in Masechet Chulin draws to a temporary, and it's only a temporary 60-day truce. We'll get straight back to the fighting tomorrow. As you know, as you know, we can just beat them very easily. And tomorrow will just be tomorrow, sugya. It's never a problem. We've got the best dafyomi in the world. And there's so many aircraft, I mean, so many mesectas that we can actually use. See you all later, guys. Have a wonderful day. Cool too.